This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace, may His blessings, may His safety be upon you all. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. We were making dua throughout the previous days and weeks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us to Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us to Ramadan. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I know of people who were buried just 2 days ago, who were buried just 3 days ago. And I'm sure there may be people who know of some who were buried just yesterday. Subhanallah. And on the Jumu'ah just before Ramadan, I reminded you all of a narration in which a companion saw two people who accepted Islam at the same time in a dream. And one, he had greater intensity in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the other. But he passed away on the battlefield a year before the other. But he saw them in his dream, and he saw one entering Jannah, the one who died a year later, the one who didn't die on the battlefield, the one who wasn't so intense in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saw him entering Jannah before the one who died on the battlefield, the one who was more intense in his worship. Remember, they accepted Islam at the same time. So when he mentioned this dream to the Sahaba, it became a point of discussion, because the Sahaba knew the benevolence, the virtue of passing away on the battlefield. And this got to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This news got to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked him this question, that how is this possible? And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, did he not live for 1 year longer than his brother? And did he not witness one more Ramadan after his brother? Did he not pray X amount of salah as a result? And was he not charitable in such and such a way as a result? Subhanallah. The pious before us, they would say, if the people of the grave, they were given one wish, that wish would be for them to come back to life to witness just one day of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us to the night of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our blessings. Imam Shu'ayb, hafidhahullah, he mentioned to you all after Isha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, valuing this month, he would congratulate the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He would say to them, there has come to you Ramadan. Atakum Ramadan. Shahrun Mubarak, a blessed month. It is a month in which Allah, the Almighty, the Sublime, has enjoined you to fast. And fasting in and of itself has so many virtues and so many rewards, subhanallah. It needs a lesson in and of itself. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the gates of Jannah widely. And He shuts the gates of the hellfire tightly. And He chains the maradat al-shayateen, the shayateen that disturb our ibadah, that work against our effort to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah assists us so much in this month that the only one who will lose this month is truly a wretched one. Oh, a person who truly decides to be at a loss with the passing of this month. Because this month is so benevolent, the mercy in it is so vast, that even the greatest sinner, if they had the weakest desire for forgiveness, they will benefit from the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah. If they were to slip, where would they fall into? The only gates that are open are the gates of paradise. La ilaha illallah. This is a safqa. This is a deal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to us. In it are transactions lan tabur. Transactions that carry no loss, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. It's up to you and I. Ramadan has its arms outstretched, and it wants us to take from it, and it's come with blessings. in abundance to such an extent that it gives the giving of a person that fears no poverty. It's not the giving of someone that fears poverty that maybe they will clench their fist after a while. No, the arms of Ramadan, the hands of Ramadan are wide open, brothers and sisters in Islam. What we get from it depends on how much we grab from it. Depends on our effort, our application, our planning, our execution, our sincerity, our desire with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, we ask you with your most beautiful of names and elevated of qualities to let this month pass over us with blessings. Ameen. With faith. Ameen. With safety. Ameen. And Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us for Ramadan and to safeguard Ramadan for us and to accept it from us in full. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I'm sure you've seen the announcement by Darus Salam. They will have several activities, alhamdulillah, for the community this Ramadan, for the purpose of community development, but no doubt for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the after Taraweeh program is dedicated to having these moments with the Quran, to reflect over some of the verses recited. Today we heard predominantly two surahs. We heard Suratul Fatiha, of course, and we heard a good chunk of Suratul Baqarah. There's more to come from Suratul Baqarah because we finished 1 1/4 juz today. There's still another half of Suratul Baqarah to come. But given that this is the first night and I think Ramadan crept upon us so quickly, subhanAllah. Some people were still hoping that it would be Monday night because we had a few things to finish. Huh? And then we were following the channels and it said, moon not sighted here, moon not sighted there. And then even in the place that it was cited, the first announcement said it's not cited. And then immediately it said it's cited. SubhanAllah. Things were happening so fast. So people were like, oh, we can breathe. It's Monday night, inshallah. And suddenly they were jumping around. So given that, you know what, it's the first night and it crept up on us, albeit suddenly, inshallah, we will keep our reflections simpler and shorter today. But bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as we progress into Ramadan, we will cover Suratul Baqarah in more detail. No doubt, we have to start with Suratul Fatiha, the opening of the Quran. And this is the first night of Ramadan. And Al-Fatiha is obviously translated as the opening. And indeed, Suratul Fatiha is the opening because it is the opening of everything. It is the opening for us in everything. It is the opening of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy upon us. It is the opening for us to recognize who our Lord is subhanah. For in Suratul Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself to us. The scholars before us, they said that all of the meanings of the Quran, you will find them in Suratul Fatiha. All of the meanings of the Quran, you will find them in the 7 verses of Suratul Fatiha. You just have to ponder. And all of the meanings of Suratul Fatiha, you will find them in one verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek refuge from. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he has an entire book called Madarij al-Salikin. The Stations of the Salikin, the Wayfarers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This book is dedicated to the stations that are found in إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. SubhanAllah. It's as if this voluminous work of his is a tafsir of just one verse in the Quran. And that is one verse in Suratul Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. SubhanAllah. And he, no doubt, has filled it with eloquence. An eloquence from the Quran and the Sunnah. But for those who want to understand a bit deeper, his book, Madarij al-Salikin, is actually a study of a book of another Imam, Imam al-Harawi, rahimahullah. For he wrote a book, Manazil al-Sa'irin. Ibn al-Qayyim named his Madarij al-Salikin. The translations are similar. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he loved this book so much that he took it and he studied it and did an abridged work of it. And in it, he removed some of the polemics and some of the things he didn't agree with. And he kept what he felt was absolutely necessary for a person to understand the core topics of the purification of the soul. Because that is the reality of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It's a journey of purification. The purification of the soul and the purification of the self. And it's not a surprise because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who revealed to us as-sab' al-mathani, The scholars of tafsir say As-Sab' al-Mathani refers to Surah Al-Fatiha wal-Qur'an al-Azim. The great Qur'an, Allah revealed it to us. And in the Qur'an, Allah revealed the seven great verses. These are the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah of the Qur'an. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there's no salah except that it has to have in it Surah Al-Fatiha. There's no salah in which Surah Al-Fatiha has not been read therein. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the surah in rank. For this surah is a surah that everyone will have to read, whether they want to or they don't want to, because they have to observe the salah. And this is a compulsory part of the salah. Allah raised it in mention. He raised it in rank. Just like He raised the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in mention. And He raised His name in rank when He says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا أَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. Or before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Duha, وَالْضُحَى وَالْلَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah then says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah says, we will give you until you will be pleased, O Muhammad. And then Allah mentions from the blessings that He gave to Muhammad that He raised His name in mention. And that's why we see in the salah, we mention Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. In the adhan that we hear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the mention of Muhammad a part and parcel of the adhan. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. In the iqama, we hear compulsory, in an obligatory way, the mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, the shahada is incomplete without belief in Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah raised the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah indeed raised Surah Al-Fatiha. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that he heard Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, he heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that he heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding Surah Al-Fatiha, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةِ, I have divided the prayer into two halves between me and my servant, and for my servant is what my servant asks for. Subhanallah. Allah says, I have split the salah between me and my servant. Pay attention here. Because we said there's no salah except that you have to have the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah says, I have split the salah between me and my servant. I've divided the prayer into two halves. And my servant will receive what he asks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a hadith Qudsi, that when my servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, or praises belongs to Allah, the Lord of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, says, my servant has praised me. La ilaha illallah. When you pray the salah and you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is not just a recitation. This is a conversation with the Lord of the worlds. A conversation with the Lord of the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this. The Messenger is saying that Allah said that when my slave says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, my servant has praised me. Imagine this, O servants of Allah. And that is why when you get up from the ruku' and you say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, my Lord hears the one who praises Him. لا إله إلا الله. Did you ever think about this? Why do I say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ? The most often recited phrase when we move from position to position in the prayer is Allahu Akbar. But when we get up from ruku', after standing and praising Allah, and then bowing and praising Allah, when we say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, this is further praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before going into sujood and praising Allah, we raise up from the bowing position and we say Sami Allahu liman hamida. That Sami Allah, Allah heard the one who praises Him. And we further praise Him. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Oh my Lord, for You is all praise. Because when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and we say Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that my slave has praised me. And this is testimony from the slave, from the worshipper, the one who is in his salah or in her salah, that I don't worship a figment of my imagination. I worship a being who is alive. And because he's alive, that being hears me. This is testimony from you when you say, Sami Allah, Huli Man Hamida, he hears me. Meaning he's alive, he hears me. It's not a figment of my imagination. I am worshipping him with sincerity, with desire, with knowledge. It's not just a robotic action. It's not just something I picked up from my forefathers. It is meaningful to me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah says, and when my slave says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, some translations translate it as the compassionate and the merciful, and some others as the entirely merciful, because Ar-Rahman is upon the scale of Fa'lan, which denotes comprehensiveness. So the entirely merciful. Ar-Rahim, the especially merciful, because Ar-Rahim is upon the scale of Fa'il. And those who study the Arabic language will know that this scale denotes the meaning of exclusivity. So the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. When my slave says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, my slave has lauded me. He's venerated me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Allah says that when my slave says, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has glorified me. And sometimes he would say, my servant entrusted his affairs unto me. Then when the worshipper says, Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in, that Ya Allah, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek assistance from, Allah says, this is between me and my servant. Nobody is involved here now. This is between me and my servant who's worshipping me sincerely. And for my servant is what my servant will ask for. And the first thing you ask for is, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. That, oh my Lord, guide me to the straight path. The straight path in everything. The scholars of tafsir, they say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, it is min al-adi'iyati shamila. It is from the comprehensive supplications, the comprehensive du'as. If you say Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim and you intend marriage, it will become a du'a for marriage. That Ya Allah, guide me to the right path in terms of marriage. Who I marry, who I choose to marry, who my heart is open to. If it's for a job, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim becomes a du'a for that job. That guide me to the right path in terms of this job. I may think it's good for me, but you know what's better for me. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide me to the right path in that. And obviously from the outset, the right path in faith and iman and Islam. And that is why the scholars of tafsir have complementary explanations of as-sirat al-mustaqim. What does it mean? And some said it refers to Islam, and some said it refers to the Quran, and some said it refers to the Sunnah. These are all complementary expressions and explanations. They don't contradict each other. This ikhtilafat is known as ikhtilaf al-tanawwu'. It's from the differences of opinion that complement each other. They don't contradict each other. Islam, Quran, the Sunnah, it's all the same thing. This is the reality of Surah Al-Fatiha. And as I said to you earlier, it is the surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself to us. When we say Alhamdu Lillah, all praises belongs to Allah. And this, imagine it's a slave who for the first time is being introduced to Allah. They open the Quran. The first surah they read are the opening verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, of the opening. Alhamdulillah, all praises belongs to Allah. Okay, who is Allah? Allah introduces himself using four introductions. Number one, Rabb al-Alameen, he is the Lord of the worlds. Ar-Rahman, the entirely merciful. Ar-Rahim, the especially merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, master and owner of the Day of Judgment. Master, if you say, upon a qira'ah, and owner upon a qira'ah. Malik and Malik, as we heard in the salah today. And this is from the complete reality of our Lord, his perfection. Because master and owner shows absolute sovereignty and absolute ownership. You could own something, but you may not have sovereign rule. You could have sovereign rule, but you might not have ownership of what the people who you have sovereign rule over, they own. Allah is the master and owner. He has complete sovereignty and complete ownership. The two qira'at, Malik and Malik, they build for us this understanding in terms of the reality of our Lord. He subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself to us. And this alhamd here that we mention, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This hamd is the highest reference for expressing praise and showing gratitude. And it is a phrase that can only be used in association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Arabic language, there's many ways to thank people and praise people. We use the term shukr and thanks to thank people. We praise people, and the term for it is madh. Madha yamdahu, he's praising him. But alhamdu is an intensified form of praise. Why? Because the gifts that Allah has given us are unmatched, are unprecedented. Nobody can give us and gift us like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. So he deserves a thanks at a level, at a precedence, at a priority that's far greater than any thanks we could show to any human being. And if you ask, what does alhamd mean? Then the scholars of tafsir have said that alhamd means, it references a show of sincere gratitude that comes from a sincere heart, filled with sincere love and sincere exaltation for the one being praised. By Allah, I ask you, who can you praise with these qualities? Besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can motivate you to be able to show gratitude at this level of intensity besides the Lord of the world subhanah, the one who brought you out of existence into existence? If you remained out of existence, you would have no chance to earn Jannah. Then after he brought you into existence, he created Jannah for you and brought to you Islam and the month of Ramadan and all the other blessings you ask for. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُ. He brought to you everything you asked for. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try and audit and count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, you will never ever be able to do so. Ask the blind man about the blessing of seeing, or the deaf man about the blessing of hearing. O servant of Allah, we have hearts in our bodies that beat with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need to think and remember for it to beat. Imagine if our heart beating was dependent on our brain remembering that function. And us being forgetful human beings, what would happen? Allahu musta'an. We'd forget to live and we would die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sustains us without us needing to think, without us needing to remember, subhanah. And then he brought to us the greatest gift, Islam, when you didn't even ask him. O servant of Allah, this is the Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha. He is introducing himself to us, and we praise him with the praise of alhamd. Because wallahi, if Allah gave you Islam and you didn't ask him for it, what can he give you if you ask him for it? If he gave you the greatest gift without you asking, what can he give you if you ask him? Subhanah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises belongs to Allah. This lam lillah is lam al-tamlik. Lam al-tamlik means this praise, this level of praise, this hamd, it belongs to Allah. It is not for Allah because of you. It was for Allah before you. Allah was Al-Hamid, the praised one, before he created a creation who said Alhamdulillah. He was the praised one before you praised him. He didn't need you to praise him, to be grateful to him, for him to be Al-Hamid, and the one who is the owner of the phrase Alhamdulillah. For he is perfect from ever, and he is perfect forever. Alhamdulillah, these praises belong to Allah, whether you want to praise him, or you don't want to praise him, or you wish to praise him, or you refuse to praise him, or you love to praise him, or you hate to praise him. Your situation or circumstance doesn't matter. He is Al-Hamid, and Alhamdulillah is for him. From always, and it is for him forever. Subhanah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then teaches us in Surah Al-Fatiha the pillars of ibadah. The pillars of ibadah are three. The pillars of ibadah are three. Allah immediately at the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha disseminates these pillars to us. Because he says to, or he teaches us, when he introduces himself to us, when you ask, who is Allah? He says, the Lord, Rabb, the Lord. And what will make you understand what the Lord means? The Lord, the one who created you, who made you, who sustains you, who feeds you, who brought you out of existence, who gives you life, who gives you death, who preserves you, and he protects you, and he nurtures you to perfection. All these explanations I've just given you are from the meanings of one name of Allah, Ar-Rabb. And that's why the scholars say Ar-Rabb is a universal term of Allah. It is a meaning, or it is a name of Allah that encompasses many other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the meanings of many other names. Rabb is the Lord. When you learn, upon being introduced to Allah, that this is what Allah does for me. He protects me, He gives me, He sustains me, He feeds me, He protects me, He preserves me. What does this do to the heart of a believer? What does it cause to grow within it? Love. You begin to love Allah. Love begins to develop. When you understand that Allah is my Rabb, and this is what He does for me, as is natural, we love our parents because of what they did for us. They look after us, we love them. This is what Allah did for me, I love Him. This is pillar number one of worship. Then Allah says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He's the entirely merciful and the especially merciful. What happens to your heart when you learn that my Lord is this? You start having hope in Him. That I may slip, but He's the entirely merciful. He's the especially merciful. I won't lose hope in Allah. I have a chance. This is the second pillar of worship. You have love and you have hope. And then Maliki Yawmiddin. He's the master and owner of the day of judgment. The day upon which every tyrant and dictator and evil person will be brought forth. And they acted like kings, but now they will be under the King of Kings. When you learn that this is who Allah is, what does this breed within your heart towards Him? Fear. Khawf. This is the third pillar of worship. Ibn al-Qayyim beautifully describes these pillars for us to help us understand. He says, think of a dove, with love being the body of the dove, and hope being one wing of the dove, and fear being the other wing of the dove. If the dove flaps only one wing during its flight, it will crash. And if the dove only flaps the other wing during its flight, it will crash. For this dove to successfully reach its destination, it has to flap both the wings of hope and fear together. It can't worship with too much fear, because that will lead to decapacitation. And it can't lead itself to Allah with too much hope, because what will happen? You'll fall into sin, and you'll keep on going into sin under the guise that Allah will forgive me. There's a balance that's required. And Allah says, as we heard in today's salah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. At the beginning of the second juz, we've made you a middle nation. So even our journey to Allah is upon the middle way. It's not only with hope, it's not only with fear. It's in the middle between hope and fear. That we try our best, and if we slip, we don't lose hope. And if we see ourselves erring and falling into sin with false hope, then we remember the wing of fear. We flap it a little bit more and calibrate our journey. All this is coming from the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha. What about the rest of Surah Al-Fatiha? Subhanallah. I promise we wouldn't be long, and we didn't even go into Surah Al-Baqarah. We're still on Surah Al-Fatiha. I hope you understand what we meant when we said earlier, when we said that all the meanings of the Quran are in Surah Al-Fatiha. At the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from those who His anger fell upon. And the scholars of tafsir say, this is the Jews. And الضَّالِّينَ, the ones who went astray. The scholars of tafsir say, they are the Christians. The Jews had knowledge and they didn't practice upon it. The Christians didn't have knowledge and they acted. They worshipped Allah without knowledge. The Jews had knowledge and they flouted their obligations despite their knowledge. This ummah again is on the middle way. We worship with knowledge. When we have the knowledge, we put it into practice. And we don't worship except with dalil and evidence. This is the middle nation. Just as a segue into Surah Al-Baqarah and thereafter Surah Al-Imran, the scholars of tafsir say there's this tanasub, there's this suitability, there's this relationship between Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran that comes after it, because Surah Al-Baqarah discusses the Jews in detail. And it's as if it's the tafsir of غير المغضوب عليهم. And Al-Imran discusses the Christians. And it's famously known for the caravan of Christians that came from Najran to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As if Surah Al-Imran is the tafsir of Walad Dalin. So Surah Al-Fatiha brings the introduction and then segues us into longer chapters that are connected to it to further build our understanding of it. I hope through a few angles I've connected the rest of the Quran to Surah Al-Fatiha to help you appreciate, subhanAllah, the benevolence of the Surah, and that hopefully inshaAllah this Ramadan, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we will pray a different salah, especially with our Surah Al-Fatiha when we recite it, and when we say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, and we come out of that ruku' and we really recalibrate and appreciate, subhanAllah, who we are standing in front of. This is the best month to rejuvenate our salah and improve our ibadah with the maradat shayateen, with these shayateen that affect our ibadah being chained. The influence on us is reduced. Allah has given us the opportunity to grow. Brothers and sisters in Islam, very quickly, some action points. It's the first night of Ramadan. It's very important that we build and build fast. Ramadan crept up upon us suddenly and quickly. And very soon, 1 week of Ramadan will be gone. And then the first 10 will disappear. After 1 week, the first 10 is just around the corner. And once the first 10 is done, you will be counting the days to Laylatul to the last 10 nights of Ramadan and searching for Laylatul Qadr. So the middle 10, subhanAllah, will disappear. And once you get into the last 10 and you counting the odd nights, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, subhanAllah, the last 10 will finish. And once you hit 25 and you start thinking of the day of Eid, La ilaha illallah. So it's important that if we haven't started, we start very quickly. Use this evening for istighfar. Istighfar, astaghfirullah. Break the barriers between us and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And use this evening as well to consolidate your Ramadan plan. I hope by now you've already written a plan, as we discussed in the khutbah just before Ramadan. But consolidate it, look at it. See where you are, where's your Quran, where's your marker, what's your plan? How are you going to go about your day? How are you going to execute on your targets? And like I said to you earlier, in your practice run, if you're failing on the quantitative targets, then make a change. Because if you always do what you always did, you will always get what you always got. Remember that, right? If you're failing and you don't change the process, then failure is going to continue. Right? So if you failed with the, if I wouldn't say failed, but if the quantitative targets, one juz, half a juz, it's difficult for you, switch your goals and make them qualitative goals. How so? Say, I'm going to sit 30 minutes and read the Quran. Whatever I finish in 30 minutes, that's my quota for the day. Instead of saying one juz, say I'll read for 30 minutes. If I finish the juz, alhamdulillah. Half a juz, alhamdulillah. So turn it to qualitative, meaning consolidate your plan, ponder over these days where you are practicing for Ramadan, so that inshallah you move more smoothly into the month, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. If you haven't planned, then plan tonight. Plan tonight. It's not all gone. If you haven't planned, it's not too late. Plan tonight. Alhamdulillah. This is a blessed night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we've learnt, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. This brings to us hope. So don't lose hope. If you haven't planned, get down and plan. Plan your ibadah. When are you going to pray Salatul Duha? Plan your Sunan al-Rawatib. How are you going to ensure you look after those 12 units every day in Ramadan? Plan how you're going to manage the last third of the night. Plan your meals. How are you going to manage your diet? How are you going to keep up your energies? Some people have strenuous work. Some people have light work. Some people have night work. Some people have day. Plan. What meals are you going to eat? How is your suhoor going to be? What works? What doesn't work? Right? Plan that. Plan your worship. Plan your meals. Plan your sleep. Whatever you can delegate, start delegating. Make a plan to delegate. Whatever you can't delegate, see if you can reduce, postpone some of the intensity of the tasks till after Ramadan. This is Ramadan. It's a guest in our home. It doesn't want to see us too busy for it, especially if we don't know if we will witness next Ramadan. Number three, get the masjid timetable. You can see it over there. And strategize your day to ensure you pray as many salah with jama'ah. There's many masajid in Blackburn, alhamdulillah. Subhanallah, sometimes around the corner you find three. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. This is a mercy, this is a blessing. There's people that live in places, subhanallah, you need a car to drive 7 minutes before you find one. Right? So strategize. Okay, maybe you are praying at your place of work during the rest of the year. Ramadan means more. Go to the masjid. Catch the jama'ah. Okay? So get the different timetables and figure out. Alhamdulillah, I've noticed just by comparing some of the timetables, there's a lot of facilitation by the masajid for people. Right? So some the salahs are different times, 15 minutes apart. So you can catch it somewhere. Number four, compounding intentions. Right? We've heard of compounding interest. That is haram 100%. But compounding intentions, halal 100%. There are certain things you can compound. Like for example, salah after wudu and tahiyatul masjid and salah after adhan. For example, you came into the masjid, you made wudu at home, you came to the masjid. You heard the adhan, alhamdulillah, you want to sit down, this tahiyatul masjid. Three intentions in two units. Three intentions and say Allahu Akbar. You get the rewards of three salahs in just two units of prayer. Right? So there's certain ibadat that alhamdulillah, we are allowed to compound intentions. In the example I gave you is from them. So figure this out and compound your intentions inshaAllah. Last but not least, dua. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this month is the month of dua. Allah's mercy is falling upon us in unprecedented ways more than any other month. Your dua in this month means more than any other month. You will make dua in this month whilst being engulfed in the mercy of Allah. It is a different dua. You need to beg from Allah. You need to cry to Allah. You need to ask from Allah. I told you previously, like the two-year-old in the shop who wants the sweet and the chocolate. Remember? And the mother is saying no. And then it starts, the child throws a tantrum in the middle of the aisle. Doesn't care who's there, who's not there. It doesn't care how embarrassed the parents are. It wants it. All right, don't throw a tantrum. But you know what I mean. What I mean is, raise your hands and ask and beg from Allah. Wallahi, ask Allah the asking of a two-year-old. Because wallahi, you are asking from a Lord who has bounties that are so abundant, nothing decreases it. Pray for myself, for my da'wah, for my parents, for my family. Pray for the team here at Darus Salam. Pray for the scholars, the imams, the huffaz who will be managing the affairs of the ummah this Ramadan. Pray for Islam and the Muslims. And pray for the oppressed and the people of Gaza. And as you pray for the people of Gaza, don't forget the Rohingya brothers and sisters in Islam. And don't forget our brothers and sisters in Kashmir. They're not getting enough satellite attention. And because we don't know, it doesn't mean. Because we don't know, it doesn't mean. You know what I mean by this. Because we don't know, it doesn't mean that they are fine. They are hungry as well. They are struggling as well. They are displaced as well. They are oppressed as well. The ummah is in a lot of need. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah. And that begging should start from the position of you getting rid of all your actions that prevent your du'as from reaching Allah. Wallahi, nobody wants to be making du'a to Allah in this month and the du'a doesn't reach. You need to sincerely do tawbah for riba, for those who are in riba. And ask Allah to help you out of it. And if you do your tawbah, then your du'as will reach. I'm not here to give you bad news. Sincerely ask Allah for forgiveness and promise Him you won't do it again. Alhamdulillah, you've opened the door. If your relationship with your parents isn't great and you have a fault in that, go and apologize and fix that fault. That's one of the means that blocks our du'as reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beg from Allah, and that also begins with doing everything to ensure your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserved. This is only the first night, inshallah. We will continue in the upcoming nights. I love you all for the sake of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our first night, our dua and our salah and our standing. And we ask Allah to bless our ibadah to come and to bless our suhoor and to grant us the best first fast and to take us from strength to strength throughout our month and to grant us the strongest ending at the end of the month of Ramadan. Wa jazakumullahu khairan wa hafidhakumullah. May Allah preserve you all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam. وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.